You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Truck Nation, get into a Chevy now, the truck that always has your back. Receive up to $12,000 off on select 2018 trucks right now at Lakewood Chev.
351 Inside the Stripes continues. Jason Greger, Jason Stradock, along with Bud Steen. Four more games on tap this weekend. The Edmonton Eskimos with their home opener. They will take on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. The two QBs, the only two QBs in the league who passed for over 300 yards going at it, Mazzoli and Mike Riley. The Eskimos look like Hightower and Aaron Grimes will be back in the secondary for them. Vidal Hazelton did not practice again, so I would think Mitchell's going to come off the one game for the Edmonton Eskimos. A loss, of course, but Mitchell's pretty good receiver. There will be changes on the O-line. Tommy Jaheim is out. Adam Konar at the linebacker position is out. Jameel Smith, who had a pretty good week of returning, he's on the sixth game. The Eskimos have six guys now injured already, starters in the first 2 weeks on the sixth game. Now, Glenn Suter had some comments, Bud, in regards to the pass interference in the Hamilton and Calgary game. Your thoughts?
You know, I've kind of ridden Suits a little hard over the past few years, because I take exception to a number of opinions that he expresses during television broadcasts. Saturday night, he essentially was promoting the concept of letting the players play ball. And Saturday night, I agreed with him, and I must apologize to him for calling him out previously. But we had a number of flags where, in my opinion, we could have passed on them. And that is to say, there really was no advantage game. Technically, yes, we've got pass interference, but there really wasn't an advantage gained. And frankly, it's that sort of stuff that really undermines a fan's confidence in the officials. If they feel that the officials are too picky, then they stop wanting to watch the games. And so we're learning from it. It's still early in the season. I know we're going to get better. We had a very good weekend of officiating, in my opinion. I can't imagine officiating a 6-hour football game. Not that they were going hard for 6 hours, but the on and off and on and off, and trying to keep your brain at that high intensity at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. My goodness gracious. I thought that across the board, the guys did a good job. We do have some areas that we need a bit of improvement on. Word has gone out to specific officials that, you know, we're looking for a little bit more mobility here and there. We're looking, just for a little bit more intensity in certain situations. But we're on the right course, and I'm really hopeful that we're going to have a heck of a year this year.
So when you talk about what Glenn Suter is mentioning about just letting the players play, is, you know, that's got to be a really fine line.
Yes, it is.
And I think to the casual fan, do we even know the difference? It takes someone with a trained eye.
Yeah. Basically, you're absolutely right. I mean, if we see an arm draped across the chest of a receiver, should that necessarily be called as interference? Is the defender pushing the receiver in any way? Is he preventing the receiver from getting in closer to the ball? We allow, as Suter talks quite frequently about hand fighting, we allow guys to be slapping wrists and sort of knocking each other's hands away, but we won't allow a defender to do what we call an arm bar, where they will put their forearm across the arm of the receiver so that he can't lift his hand up and ends up catching the ball with one hand. Mm. But it's not necessarily illegal to be touching the receiver's forearm. So again, it's trained eye. It's seeing exactly what's going on. The officials have the one advantage over the fans in the stands, in that they're, you know, 5-10 feet away from it, so that they can not only see it, but they can feel it and hear it, so that they can build those senses into making their decision as well. But you're right, it's a very fine line, and we've got to be very, very careful. One of my concerns in the past is that we were trying to make rules interpretations too black and white. If A, then it's a foul. And it's not, you know, is it a capital A or is it a small A? So again, we have to allow some gray in the play so that the players can actually determine the outcome of any particular play.
Now, from what I understand, there's six groups of seven officials right now.
Yes.
Correct? So six crews. So you had four working last week, two that didn't work. I'm assuming then every week two are off.
Yep.
Is it pretty much a pretty standard rotation like that? Like you'll go 2 weeks in a row, week off, 2 weeks in a row, week off?
Yeah. In fact, in some cases, it's week on, week off, week on, week off, 2 weeks on. We're setting this up through to the middle of August. A point from last week, we had a discussion after in answer to one of the listeners about the NFL guys. The NFL guys are back. We have four NFL officials working with us this year, and we have five of our fellows down in the NFL doing preseason camps and a preseason game. The NFL officials that are with us are all working deep side so that the game is pretty much the same as what they're used to down in the United States. It's going to be interesting because come August, we're cutting seven guys. And so there could be some veterans that are set down. So performance now is very, very critical. We've committed that we're going to go with our best. And so we're going to go down to five crews and, run it out for the rest of the season, virtually to the end with that.
Bud, as always, good stuff. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Absolutely. Enjoy this weekend's games.